issue to us a very distinct call to action. As we heard in that second reading, let us love not only in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And then St. John also tells us, we have confidence in God because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. It's not enough to know about the mystery of Jesus, about his teachings, about his life, death, and resurrection. The devil knows all of those things, and they don't save him. We must let the knowledge of Jesus transform our lives so that we can bear fruit. And that's what we heard in the gospel. Jesus warns us. He says, he takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and they are thrown into the fire. The first reading is about the initial building of the kingdom of God in the Mediterranean world, about the fruit that was produced by the early church. They understood that Jesus came into the world to turn the world upside down, which is why we are persecuted when we proclaim Jesus as the Son of God to a world that wants to be God itself. As a commentator noted, though, Jesus came not to turn the world upside down, but right side up. And our world, if you hadn't noticed, is a little off balance. In fact, it's not a little off balance, it's way off balance. Right? The thing is, the apostles, the saints, and the holy men and women of every age have helped build the kingdom, and we've inherited that kingdom. However, it is in great need of repair and defense. In our struggle against a secular and materialistic culture, there have appeared some significant holes or breaches in the castle walls. And so, like today's readings, it's not enough to just say, hey, the world's upside down. Or it's not enough to just point out that there are holes in the castle wall. We are members of that kingdom. We have responsibilities towards God and each other. Something more must be done to step into the breach, to defend the kingdom, and to repair the breach. I think at the end of the day, a very good examination of conscience can revolve around two simple questions. In regards to God's kingdom, did I do what I am able to do? Did I do what I ought to do? Well, but seriously, Deacon Bob, what can be done? It's a good question. But needless to say, God offers us an answer. In Isaiah chapter 58, God specifies a plan of action that will work for any culture. It's a message of hope because both of its promise and its simplicity. Because in there, God promises people that they can be called repairers of the breach and restorers of homesteads. That we can be those who defend and fix the castle walls, and we can restore families. But how? By doing what we are able to do, and by doing what we ought to do. Or have we excused ourselves? Isaiah 58 offers us two things, both very doable. Number one, releasing those bound unjustly, setting free the oppressed, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked when you encounter them. In short, what we call the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Because as Jesus said, he says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you did it for me. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy are part one for becoming repairers of the breach. I can point to any number of saints and holy men and women, individuals and small groups, not large groups, individuals and small groups who transform the culture through a dedicated, persistent practice of the works of mercy. In our own parish, I can highly recommend getting involved with something like our St. Vincent de Paul Society or the Legion of Mary, among others. Part two is also very doable. If you hold back your foot on the Sabbath from following your own pursuits on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, if you honor it by not seeking your own interests. Part two is we have to learn, I should say we have to relearn, I like to think we used to know how to follow the third commandment, to keep holy the Lord's day. Not just go to Mass, but giving ourselves to building up our families, to doing the works of the Lord, and to giving real rest to our bodies for the rest of the week. To live in a way that reveals to the world that God is not just a hobby, but he's the reference point for the decisions we make and the way we live. Our prayers and our actions are the raw materials for repairing the breach. And God will act when we give him something with which to build. Thankfully, it isn't complicated. From Isaiah, first be engaged in the works of mercy. Second, keep holy the Lord's day. If we do these, here is just a portion of the promises that God offers us in Isaiah 58. He says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall be quickly healed. Verse 8. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. Verse 9. Then the Lord will guide you always and give you plenty, even on the parched land. Verse 11. In other words, Jesus will set the world right side up by working through your actions. But will we act? It's really the question. I recently learned something at our That Man Is You program that's both interesting and tragic. In 1830, in an apparition approved by the church, Mary appeared in Paris, France, to St. Catherine Laboure. And when she appeared, Mary made three requests. The first was to have a medal made according to an image that Mary showed to St. Catherine. Second, Mary wanted them to enlarge the chapel to accommodate the pilgrims that would come because of the graces that would flow from there. And last, in a second apparition in 1848, Mary asked that a large cross be built to overlook Paris as a sign of God's enduring presence among them. Well, the medal was made, and there were so many miracles associated with wearing it that it became known as the Miraculous Medal. Mary didn't call it the Miraculous Medal. She didn't give it a name. The people called it the Miraculous Medal because of the outpouring of miracles associated with wearing it. And of course, once that happened, the church authorities fulfilled Mary's other two requests, or so you would think. Actually not. Despite vehement pleading from St. Catherine, nothing was ever done to enlarge the chapel or to build the cross that overlooked Paris. When St. Catherine Laboure died in 1876, they found this note in her prayer book. My kind mother, here no one wants to do what you want. Manifest yourself somewhere else. Manifest yourself somewhere else. And in response to that prayer, in 1858, 10 years after Mary's second appearance to St. Catherine, Mary appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes. And from Lourdes came an abundance of miracles. I'll bet a number of you have been to Lourdes seeking a miracle. My youngest daughter actually witnessed a miracle that was significant enough that the authorities contacted her for written testimony. Well, when someone mentioned to St. Catherine the miracles happening in Lourdes, her response was, those miracles should have happened in our chapel. But they didn't want to do what God asked of them. God invites and then waits and respects our response. What miracles does Mary, Help of Christians, want to do here? How many souls to save? How many conversions? How many families restored? How many priestly and religious vocations? How many mental, spiritual, and yes, physical healings? At the same time, how many miracles are being prevented because of those to whom it can be said, Father, this soul doesn't want to do what you want. At the end of the day, ask yourself those two questions. In regards to the kingdom, did I do what I was able to do? Did I do what I ought to do? Or did I excuse myself? God invites and then waits for a response. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the early church did not wait and they did not hesitate. We've received that same Spirit, and we've been entrusted with the kingdom of God built through them. Will we be called repairers of the breach and restorers of homesteads? It would be awesome if those things could be said of us.